This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part two of a two-part series. So today we are continuing our discussion of the 8-point enlightenment guide to sexual healing. Sex is the creative life force energy, but at times it is true. Stored memories open up. They are doorways to other experiences of reality, and they can be opened. Emotions of all kinds are stirred up. So if you are going to be the one to help lead your partner through these experiences, how do you do so in a way that honors both yourself and your partner? So here to continue our discussion is our guest, David Cates. I'm going to tell you a little bit about David Cates. We've discussed him already, so I'm just going to say briefly, he mentors sexual healers and teachers after a long career of his own in private practice as a sexual healer. He's facilitated hundreds of workshops on sexual healing, tantra, and personal growth. And he works with people in person and over the phone in Hawaii and the Bay Area of California. So let's continue on with some of our conversation here in the 8-Point Enlightenment Guide. And there are just so many beautiful things about the guide that I really love. And I want to talk about the healer for a moment. What are some of the requirements if you're doing the healing? What are some of the properties that you need to do in order to not get sucked into? Okay, we had some examples where you were, to get sucked into the other person's sort of problem. And maybe we can go this time to an example where before we were working with a woman and we had touched into her vaginal G-spot, maybe this time we'll work with a man for a little bit. You're giving him a prostate massage, and maybe you're, touched his prostate, and suddenly some core issue came up for him. How do you, as the giver of this experience, hold your center while you're doing the giving?
That is an art, Patty. the biggest thing is to be able to be out of your own way, like not be concerned about your own feelings or thoughts so much. You're just witnessing and paying attention and really closely observing the person that you're working with. So it's not about you. It's about them.
Okay. Because number four in your points is don't get trapped in the story.
Oh, yeah. When anyone is remembering any kind of a sexual abuse situation, trauma, rape, even something that was uncomfortable that they never resolved or addressed before, often what will happen is that the person will begin to spin a story about it rather than simply being in the moment with the feelings and sensations that are occurring. And the stories can get really horrendous, and it's really easy to get sucked into them and lose track of the potential for healing and transformation that exists in this and every moment.
So what do you do to really stay to help navigate and be the guide for that person?
The first thing is, again, everything comes back to the body. This is an event that happens in the body. It's a healing that happens in the body. And it's a conversation that happens with the body. So a lot of times, what the person's mind is telling you is pretty far removed from the reality that's going on in their body. And it's not always very useful information.
Okay, so what might you do physically to help them through? What might their, first of all, what might their bodies be doing, and what might you be doing to their bodies to kind of shift things?
Okay, well, if we go back to the example that you were suggesting of giving a prostate massage to a man, I find that the trigger point is usually the sphincter, not the prostate. In fact, if you can get in past the sphincter and start stimulating the prostate, usually the resistance and reluctance turns to pleasure and gets kind of overridden.
Interesting. So it's the center that tends to be the most laden, the center of the canal, right?
Yeah, well, the rim, the sphincter muscle, the outside of the anus, you know, for men, what we're taught is to hold it together in our lives. And this translates posturally and physiologically into clenched anuses in most men. And there's a huge amount of shame in being open. And men know that on some subconscious level that when they're penetrated in that way, there is going to be a flood of sensations and emotions, and they're not going to be in control, and they're not going to be able to hold it together. And that's really frightening for most men in this culture.
Uh-huh. So that's interesting. So what would be a good way to start working with that? I mean, if you wanted to actually start exploring that.
Well, I think that there needs to be some kind of desire on the man's part that's at least on the scale, it would be at least to willingness and possibly to curiosity before I would begin to do any of this kind of exploration, because a lot of men just are not ready.
Do you think that it's something that would be to their advantage, you know? I mean, let's say a guy was going, you know, I would like my life to shift somehow. I don't know how. I'm kind of blind to my blind areas, sort of by definition. I know. I think I'll try some anal massage, and that'll get things moving. I mean, would that sort of make sense?
It really does, and I don't think it's that silly at all. A lot of what happens with anal massage is being able to open up to receive. And if you're a typical man running around in your life trying to get things and make things happen, all that effort is pouring out of you, and most men are not very good at just relaxing and opening and being able to let life in and let life be.
Well, I love what you're saying. I really do. I think it's very beautiful. And if I'm hearing you correctly, even around the anus rim, there's so much story, and that if it's possibly new for a man, that there could be so much richness just starting there.
Absolutely. Yes. Start, you know, like we were saying before in the first episode, you begin where there's movement and relaxation in the body, and you kind of keep going till you find where things start to tense up, and that's the rich area to work on.
Okay, good. So we're going to take a break, and so we are talking with David Cates. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. Please stay with us. If you want to find out more about David, you can go to his website, DakaCoach.com, DakaCoach.com, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on PersonalLifeMedia.com.
So we're back. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and we are still talking about the 8 points to the Enlightened Guide to Sexual Healing. I want to talk about some. You said in point number 8, your clients are living, breathing miracles. Do you have any examples for the men of some kind of miraculous transformations that you've seen from doing this work?
Transformations with men or with
women? Yeah, with men.
Okay. I would say the single biggest thing that happens, Patty, is that when men begin to really look at their own sexual healing and their own sexual awakening and to explore their body in new ways that might previously have been taboo for them, they're going to get a much, much stronger sense of what's going on for the women in their lives. I believe that if you want to know how to make love to a woman, the single most efficient way to find out is to allow yourself to be penetrated and to realize that all the things you go through when someone else is in control and inside your body, this is what your women go through too. So to have that kind of firsthand understanding brings a whole new dimension to your lovemaking.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. But it is true, isn't it? The best givers make the best receivers, and vice versa. And I think it's kind of a statement of our culture that we're taught to be one or the other, givers or receivers. I find the same even in expanded orgasm, that they teach people how to give an orgasm but not how to receive an orgasm. I'm up against that myself. I'm trying to change that, of course. But
you rebel.
But you can't do one without the other, really.
No, they're two sides of the same circuit. And if you want to get the full potential flowing through the circuit, you have to have both ends open.
That's right. And women need to learn how to be givers just as much as men need to learn how to be receivers. So, okay. So, why are you so passionate about healing and working with sexual healers? What made you make the shift from doing a private practice with on your own?
Well, Patty, to be honest, a lot of it is age. As I get older, I think more and more about how many people I can impact and how much I can get the message out there. And if I'm working with a sexual healer, then he or she is going to go out and impact, you know, hundreds of people over the course of their lifetime. And if I'm just in private practice, there's only so many hours in a day.
I think, and I also think there's a huge need for healers to be healed.
Very, very much. And especially, I would say more so than in any other area I know, with the sexual healing. Because most of the sexual healers that are certainly in America right now, they're kind of rebels. They've grown up on their own. There's not really a lot of comprehensive training that you can get. There's not a lot of support. There's not a lot of professional networks, although there are beginning to be. But you tend to have these sort of idiosyncratic rebels who are going out, giving their gifts and doing their things in the world. And, you know, what we were just talking about a moment ago, they turn themselves into givers and they forget how to receive.
Yeah, well, there's no training for them. And the question I have gotten so often myself from sexual healers that I'm guessing you probably get maybe is one of your top questions, tell me if I'm wrong, is how do I shield myself from all of the, you know, toxic energy that I'm getting as people release all this energy?
Oh, that's a great question, and I'm going to go into some possibly spooky area with that, if I may.
Please.
Because it's my experience that the clients that come to us are very accurate reflections of ourselves. They're very accurate reflections of what's working and not working in our lives, the areas in which we're healed and unhealed. So a lot of the work that I do with the sexual healers in my mentoring process is to help them get through their own issues so that clients can stop bringing those exact issues to sessions with them.
Wow. Well, that's a beautiful answer, right? So they're attracting people in who are the perfect mirrors for them.
Exactly.
I love that. Well, but now how would that work, though? I guess in a relationship, I'm thinking now about our listeners, if you were to apply that at the listener level, would the same thing be true? So if I, let's say, had a partner and I was like, oh, I can't handle that when my partner goes there and I trigger that kind of thing from him because I'm reacting when he goes into that kind of pain or whatever, then when I heal that in myself, then it's no longer a problem for me. Would that be the same kind of thing?
I'd say that's the overview of it, yeah. What I've noticed in couples, Patty, is that there's a lot of really deep unspoken agreements about who's going to take care of what part of the sexual relationship. And there's a lot of, it's like just like they balance chores in their everyday household. In the bedroom, there's a lot of learning how to cover up and avoid and deny, or on the opposite realm, to like push too hard at things that aren't ready to be pushed at. So there's confusion.
Well, how do you fix that? What do you do about that?
Well, you know, if you want the quick answer for that is to take 100% responsibility for everything that's going on in your sexual relationship. Everything that you're putting off and saying it's the other person's fault or problem is an issue that you're not addressing in yourself.
Yeah, no, these are beautiful, beautiful answers. They're gorgeous. So we are going to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and we are talking with David Cates. And you can find out more about him at his website, dakacoach.com, dakacoach.com. Please stay with us. We will be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
So we're going into the final segment, David. I thought I'd just find out a little bit about your work and talk a little bit about technology, unless there's anything else you wanted to talk about. I'm having a great time with you. So does that work for you?
Yeah, I really appreciate this opportunity, Patty. I love talking about this stuff, and I love talking about it with someone who really understands where I'm coming from. And it's a bonus that it's going to go out and all these people are going to get to hear it.
Oh, thank you so much. Great. Well, let's get going then. Okay, super. We're back, and this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and we get the pleasure of talking with David Cates today, who's a professional, as they say. He teaches sexual healers how to heal other people and themselves. So I want to talk now a little bit about just a few other topics. For example, how do you think technology is changing our attitudes and opportunities about sexual healing?
We're in the middle of that right this moment, Patty, because we're using the technology to get information out. And I think the single biggest thing that's happening is that all of the secret, shameful things that people used to think only were happening to them, it's becoming more and more available to find out that, hey, 90% of the U.S. population is going through the same damn thing. You're not alone.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's just brilliant how we're waking up and how the technology is helping us do that.
I know. It really is. I just have a little story for myself. When I wrote Expanded Orgasm, which was, I guess, in 2002, which isn't that long ago, I had to go through a huge, I don't know, personal evolution, because people go, oh, you wrote a book, what was it about? And, I mean, I had to sort of grow up and deal with it, like people's reactions or what I thought they would be, and say, well, it's about expanded orgasm, and, you know, like my own, it's like, well, how am I going to tell my family or this and that? And for the most part, people went, wow, that's amazing. You know, let me tell you about my last orgasm. I mean, even then it was like semi-okay. And nowadays it's like no big deal. Everybody's talking about it on the bus, on the subway. It's like it's a commodity, you know. It's like I need to change so much. Even in like 7 years, it's like Tantra is like, you know, it's like Tantra perfume out there. You know, I'm surprised there isn't like anal massage kits in the local bookstore, you know. I mean, there probably are, right?
Maybe in the local drugstore.
Yeah, but it is a good time, and it's got to be helping, right?
I believe it is. In fact, a lot of the people who were finding me when I was in private practice wouldn't have found me before, because they wouldn't have known that this was available.
Well, it actually blows my mind, because I remember living a secret life for a very, you know, very, very long time. Like, what do you do? Mumble, mumble, mumble. And it is mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Well, I'd like to talk
My front that I was doing, and then this is what I was doing behind the scenes.
Exactly. All of us sacred, initiated intimates. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about your practice in our remaining times. Can you just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I've been blessed to be able to switch away from the private practice, and now there's more and more sexual healers and tantra practitioners and sexual educators in the United States, and they're beginning to band together, form associations, get to know that they're not alone in the world, and network. So there's a rich pool of people who are wise enough to want to continue their own education and to complete their own healing. They know how important that is for themselves and their own practice and creating more ease in their lives.
Would you say this field is expanding, exploding, shrinking? Or how do you see the field of sexual healers?
I see it expanding. I wouldn't say exploding quite yet. I'm not quite sure. I feel like there's a quantum leap that's coming up, certainly that I'm feeling. In my own work, the next phase, I'm working on a book to put the tools of sexual healing out to mainstream America, to just sort of release it into the general population. And I think that it's going to become more and more normalized and less of an esoteric thing that you have to go to San Francisco or New York to experience.
So can you give us a story of one of your favorite sexual healings that you did?
Oh, one of my favorite ones that totally dropped me to my knees and gave me such a huge confirmation of my choice in this is I was at a sexual healing conference, a conference for sexual healers many years ago. And so everyone in the room was a healer. Again, we were doing a workshop, and I was doing what was billed as a yoni G-spot massage. And during the massage, it became way more than that. We didn't just pull out a volume. The whole bookshelf got knocked over. Filling everywhere. So I had the support and the privilege of being in a circle of healers. There were 22 healers around me and the woman that I was working with. We were on a mattress on the floor. And we all knew enough to hold the space and keep the energy moving. And this woman went into memories of being repeatedly sexually abused as an infant. And it was so powerful. Everyone was in tears. She was regressed back to the stage of 3 months old, 6 months old. I was down there on the floor. The only way that I could connect with her and mirror back to her was baby talk. I was like, goo goo gaga, just right there with her, mirroring and mimicking every sound she was making, encouraging the expression and the release. And during that event, I feel like she turned on, she turned her body on in a way that she never had before, even though she'd been sexually active for her whole adult life. And at one point, she looked up at me and just started screaming. I had my hand on the outside of her yoni. She put her hand on top of mine and just started screaming, "She's mine! She's mine! She is mine!" And she claimed ownership of her own sexuality in a way that had never occurred to her before. And that was just so profound and powerful. And just that's a miracle when something like that can happen. And we can hold space for each other and witness each other going back into the archives and bringing something an incredibly painful story forward into the light in a way that opens everyone's heart and just creates healing for all of us.
Wow. That's a great story. And let me ask you something. I'll bet you've seen that replayed. How many times? Not exactly that, but things like that?
Yeah, things like that, hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times. This is the stuff of life, isn't it?
I have yet to meet a single, well, no, that's not true. I've met two women in my life who felt that they have never compromised their sexuality in any way with anyone.
And how many women have you met? Thousands, of course. Thousands. So out of that, you've met two. So this is the stuff of life.
Absolutely.
Know?
This is who we are and what we do in this world right now. This is how we're living, and this is how we're healing.
Right, and this is why I love your 8-point enlightened guide, because I think it is one of the most breathtakingly beautiful, sane, deal with it, love it, own it, be sane with it, just be in the flow, grow from it, learn from it, be present to it. It's real, it's here, and just, you know, work with it. That's what I love about it. You know, because it is part of us.
I've heard of it. You totally got it, Patty. Thank you.
Well, thank you, you know. So thank you for making it available to people. And we're going to close out the show pretty soon, so I'd like to invite you to just share something enlightening for people to take into their day or evening.
I think the simplest and most enlightening thing that anyone can do in any moment is take a deep breath and feel all the way down their body into their pelvis and just be grateful for the miracle of being born and being alive in this world.
Okay, I took my deep breath.
I heard you. I can feel that.
I heard thousands of listeners take deep breaths with us. Well, thank you. Yeah, woo-hoo. Thank you so much. We've been listening to David Cates, and you can find out more about him. It's an amazing show. So beautiful, so touching. It's really special for me to have you on my show today. You can find out more about him at his very, very beautiful website, DACACoach.com. It's all about being on the front lines of the sexual healing revolution. And even if you're not a sexual healer, just be in the imagine yourself what it might be like to be one for a little bit, and go check out his website. And because I think we're all sexual healers, anytime we're with a partner, because you'll never know when you touch someone. You know, you touch all of someone. You touch their heart, their body, their mind, their soul. Touch touches everywhere in every touch. And I think it's so important that we all learn what people like David have to teach us. So thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you, Patty. My pleasure.
Thank you. Before we end, I'm just going to invite my listeners to please take 5 minutes to fill out my survey at survey.personallifemedia.com. I did it. Please do it, too. It helps me learn who you are. So please send me email, patty@personallifemedia.com. For text and transcripts, you can go to personallifemedia.com and visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com to join my mailing list, too. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.